Before you guys listen to another episode of the Corner Podcast, make sure you guys show your support for the show by clicking on patreon.com/thecornerpodcast and showing support for both Andreas and myself. We're trying to bring you guys exclusive content for the new year. That means exclusive shows, guest interviews, fan appreciation episodes, a little bit of everything on a weekly basis. And the way you get that is by signing up on patreon.com/thecornerpodcast. There's different tiers, whether you guys want to donate $5, $10, or $15 a month. You guys get exclusive content and access to us, yes, both Andreas and I, every single week. And this way, we can bring you guys the stuff that you want, such as merch, live shows, and even bigger episodes of the Corner Podcast in 2019. Thank you guys for your support. Now let's get into this week's show.
We're here. I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody? Another week, another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man Andreas Hale. It is a crazy week here in Vegas. Canelo Alvarez is in town for his fight against Danny Jacobs. They've taken over the MGM Grand. The fight's going down at T-Mobile Arena this weekend, so we are both busy. The old man busier than normal running around with the zone, putting on a good broadcast of that. So we're going to get into that fight a little more a little later. We also have WWE to recap. MMA had a couple shakeups this week as well. But as we always do, it's time to nerd out to start the show. The Avengers came out last week, and last week we previewed it. Both got to watch it since. And, man, did it live up to expectations for you? A lot of people don't seem to like it as much as they thought they would.
That's crazy. No, it lived up to the expectations for me. I mean, I don't know, man. If you're judging that off of social media's reaction, I could give a shit about what social media thinks.
You never do. That was your whole stance last week. Yeah. Was you just watch it without any interruption, without any preconceived notions.
Yeah, I didn't read a review until after. Reviews I read were good. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it, just like I thoroughly enjoyed Game of Thrones, even though there was some there's some questions that I do have about that episode. But, you know, I mean, I enjoyed it. People that crap all over these things, it's like, I don't know what y'all like. It's like that people go on social media just to hate on stuff. So I could give a shit. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was the perfect ending to that narrative. I thought it was a phenomenal film, and it looked good. And Thanos is a fantastic villain. I thought it was great.
Yeah, Thanos to me was better in this one than he was in the first one. And he had, what, maybe a third of the screen time. I thought it was good. It tied up the loose ends. I needed it to tie up. There was some question marks still out there, which maybe will get answered moving forward. There is still a lot of room for character growth. A lot of explanation. It tied up some of the storylines it needed to, some of the main characters, but there's a lot still out there. And this Phase 4 has a lot to live up to and a lot of new characters to bring in. Like, this is going to start looking like WWE or NXT, where, you know, you're just getting rolling with these characters, and here goes a whole new wave of people to mix in. Except, you know, they're a little smarter with their booking.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of story there. It's comic book universe, man. So you got a lot of characters in service. I mean, not every movie's going to be a success. I'm sure there's going to be some duds. Like Thor was a dud, the first one, and Dark World didn't like that one either.
First Captain America.
I mean, first Captain America was fine. but the first two Thor movies I really didn't like. Ragnarok was one I really enjoyed, and it's one of the better Marvel movies. But everything's not going to be perfect. Now, and some people come to these things thinking every movie is going to be great. But it's kind of like baseball averages. You know, if you're batting, well, it's better than baseball averages because you need to bat at least 500.
Yeah. But listen, you got to have a free throw percentage or something. We need a smooth 80%. You can't be shacking a fool over here.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I think Marvel's more hit than miss for the most part. So, you know, and to have a payoff off of a, uh, I mean, this has been, what, 11 years in the making? So yeah. They did well. They did well. I don't know what people wanted. And it's funny because I'm like, yo, you just write some shit better than that. You know?
People don't understand this, though. They don't understand what goes into these things on the back end. And you know how much was probably left on the cutting room floor? All their problems were probably written, filmed, and just cut out of the film because it was already 3 hours.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like, shows like that, Game of Thrones, obviously, and that's why I kind of sympathize even with the WWE, empathize with the WWE in some senses, because it's 52 weeks. So you got to write a show 52 weeks and unpredictable things happen, like injuries and things like that. So when it comes to Marvel, even though with the WWE, a lot of time they do just really stupid, unacceptable shit. But with Marvel, it's like, yo, everything can't be a hit. You know, there's other mitigating circumstances to planning these films out. Same with Game of Thrones. I mean, they bypassed the books. So you had to create a new narrative and you got to tie it up. And I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. So I think Marvel was a success. But let's talk about what we really got to talk about here about this goddamn Avengers movie.
Damn, you know, right. That there should not be an embargo or a station, like one solitary embargo for how long you have to go before you can discuss a movie on social media.
So my question is, I need to ask you, why do you need a discussion? Discuss probably the biggest film that's heading into a lot of mystery and a lot of questions. Correct. Why do you feel like you have to discuss that movie 2 days after it comes out?
It was 2.5, possibly 3 days later. And that's what social media is for me. So my social media specifically, everything we do, granted, we don't have movies of this nature too often, right? So like shows like Game of Thrones, people give 1 day, everyone's pretty much seen it. We talk about it. We talk a lot about sports, which is almost instant. So we get to talk about it. But the nature of my social media page is reacting, giving my point of view, and then polling my followers for their point of view or asking them questions to create a discussion. I did that. I was called a lame because I did that in 2.5 days. But I did nothing different than what I do with sports. And I gave some time. Sports is instant. I didn't, you know, LeSean McCoy, people.
Dog. You talked about major plot points.
2 billion, Dre. Damn near everyone watched this.
That's not true.
In the first 3 days. Those 3-day numbers, it was the biggest 3-day numbers ever.
But that doesn't mean that that doesn't mean that everybody watched it. That means one point, it was the biggest global box office opening, right? But
right. And United States, it blew everything out at once.
But that doesn't mean that doesn't mean that everybody saw the movie. And you're
how can you ever guarantee that everyone's going to see it? How can you base your topics or your subject matter by other people's schedules? Because if I would have waited 5 days, then people would have been like, yo, I still haven't seen it. If I would have waited a week, yo, I still haven't seen it.
All right, so here we go. Why do you want to spoil a movie for people that haven't seen it yet? Is my question. Why wasn't it about those people?
And I gave a disclaimer.
Why can't you just discuss it with the people that you know? Like, you're on a public forum, right? Which is Twitter. And you talk about sports. Sports is different. Sports is literally happening in real time. And for the most part, it's free. And for the most part, there's SportsCenter that recaps it as soon as it's over, because that's their job.
The shit we cover isn't free. Very few and far between.
Well, the most, like, sporting events is something that it's not like film and story and plot twists and things like that. That's not, I don't think that you should spoil that for people who haven't seen it. Like, for what? That's my question. Is like, what?
Because the intent wasn't to spoil.
But
the
intent
was to discuss. But did I spoil it for you, or did you not watch the movie already?
What's that got to do with me? We ain't talking
I'm
about.
I'm just asking you.
We are talking about people who have.
There were 3 people who said, yo, Kel, I haven't watched it. I'm going to have to mute you. I said, respect my brother.
Do you think those are the only people that were on your timeline? Do you think the people that responded were the only people that had the movie spoiled for you because you want to discuss major plot points on your timeline 2.5 days after the movie came out?
Again, it is my timeline, Dre. And I gave them 2.5 plus a disclaimer.
No, you said you gave them, like, their privilege to follow you.
I don't ask people to follow. Okay, now we get to the nature of the beast. Because you nor I ask people to follow us. They so happen to follow us. And then in which...
Not for movie spoilers, though. I don't think anybody follows us for our movie criticism.
And I don't... No, and I don't spoil a ton of shit. But sometimes, Drake, we talk about other stuff on our timeline. Sometimes it's award shows. Sometimes it's me with the Yankees. Sometimes God knows what.
You didn't spoil anything about on the timeline.
No, I mean, you can't spoil that shit. But our timelines are bigger than what we cover.
Which is true. But I don't spoil. I've never spoiled a movie. Never.
I believe this.
I see no purpose in.
You're a man of high character.
I
much
am.
More character than me. People know us. You are responsible. They know I am impulsive. You're acting like it's someone out of character for me to talk about a film 3 days later. The only thing out of character is that I didn't come out of the theater and just let people have it because I'm not an asshole. But I waited 3 days. That's within my character.
You can't like, say you waited, man. Like I just don't understand this. Like what did you what like in your
outside
mind?
Of firing off one tweet mid movie that Danny Acosta will never let me live down.
Oh, that's lame too. You tweeting in the movie theater? Can't you have a minute? Dog, can't you have a minute of private time? No.
Drake, how long are we doing this show, Drake?
I'm just
4 years. When was the last time I had a minute of private time?
You really have no discretion. It's just like, yo, I'm just gonna let it all out. Like you're discussing major plot points in the film. Like
I gave three major plot points.
I mean, one is enough, right? Real
quick. I mean, yeah, for some people, we discussed it real quick, and then I moved on to what I wanted to talk about, which was the futures. Like, and I was good money. I had three questions.
You say you discussed it real quick, like it's something that goes away, like your timeline disappears and expires after like 20 minutes.
No, I mean the timeline. It was on a timeline,
forever, right?
Yeah, those 3 points were out there.
Yeah, so it's like when I log on and I follow you, right?
Yeah.
Because the way Twitter is set up, I probably see a tweet that you tweeted yesterday. So so it's pretty unavoidable. Like if I go on my social media, especially if it's my job, like there's people's jobs to go on social media for their companies or it's people their job to follow news stories. But I'm very much a person who respects that people have other things to do than to sit on Twitter all day. And I also understand that people have other things to do than to get to see a movie the day that it comes out. So
they
it's like
three dark. A night and then 2 weekend days. Listen, I understand people.
Does everybody have weekends?
Comedy? No, people
Does
don't
people
have
families.
Like
and
but
jobs?
If you care that deeply about this movie that I'm wrecking your weekend by spoiling it, you would have saw it by then. And that was the real deal. If you cared that much, I gave you 3 days. You cared that much, you watched it. You're the busiest man I know. I was wildly busy that weekend. I went and watched it. Everyone who
people have the freedom to
watch it.
I don't believe it's not my responsibility to spoil people's enjoyment. That's
it's
just
not my responsibility to know their timeline. I gave them that, a fair warning. I don't develop these algorithms for Twitter. Someone was like, you know, Twitter comes out, it doesn't put everything in order when you tweet it. You might see something. Okay, I didn't develop this algorithm. That shit's dumb, too. So our beef is with Twitter, not with me. Because I gave it in a perfectly timeline stance. I will be talking about this. Yo, is it cool to let these off? People are like, yeah, you know what? I saw it. Let's discuss this. All right, cool. Yo, by the way, everybody, I'm going to start letting these hot takes fly.
How many people follow you on Twitter?
I don't know, man. Like a quarter follow you. 4,000?
No, I'm just trying to do the percentages here. So how many people responded to your tweet about, is it okay if I let these off?
Yeah, are we comparing how many people normally respond to my tweets? Or
I'm just saying in general.
This is a horrible, it's a horrible
like
thing.
4, 7 maybe?
So no, like, I got like 20 people in this conversation.
20? So that's not even 1%. Not even 1%.
Dre, but that's everything. How many people do we talk to on fight night?
I'm just saying. All I'm saying is.
We actually do.
All I'm saying is, this is akin to you walking out of a movie theater with like three of your friends and talking very loudly about the movie where people are waiting to go watch it. That would get you beat up in some countries, like Korea.
3 days later, though.
It doesn't matter.
Like Korea.
It just happened. Like, it just happens. Somebody got beat up. People are getting beat up over these spoilers. I don't believe that, like, for me, it's just like, don't you have friends that you could talk to that you don't have to talk to the universe and spoil a movie? Because what do you gain out of it?
I mean, yeah, I could talk to you. I could talk
to you. Yeah, you could.
I got, like, my same circle of friends. But you know what? Also on social media, I want to know what those people think.
Why?
Because we do that for everything else. I ask them random questions all the time. Like, yo, what music is though? Oh, what do you guys think of this song?
We're talking about spoiler. We're talking about, like, to go see a movie in a theater, it takes an effort and money, right? Because movies ain't cheap. And it also takes a commitment of time, which is 3 hours. Now, look, yeah, I had that time because I really wanted to see the movie. I wasn't going to miss the movie. However, there was a chance that I wasn't going to see the movie this weekend because I wanted to go see it with my wife. She has law school and she has finals. So we had to figure it out to navigate. I had to have somebody watch my daughter. It was a lot to go see this movie, which some people don't have those opportunities. So, and I know, like, I have a lot of people who follow me on Twitter. So I feel responsible for things such as movies because I don't want to ruin your investment. Because I don't need to. Because I don't need a discussion on Twitter. Because I don't need validation for my perception of a major plot twist in a movie. I can discuss that with you or with my other friends via text message. I just, the social media platform to use it, and knowing that things do come in out of order, knowing that people who don't follow you can see your mentions if you're replying to somebody, I just feel that there's really no need to spoil a movie and then say, I gave you 3 days. Motherfucker, nobody knows that you gave them 3 days. If somebody just logs in, they just see a major plot point.
Listen, they got an eye full of spoiler. I couldn't help that. My intent wasn't to spoil.
Yeah, it was.
And I am fine with my intent. It was not to spoil. Like, it was to discuss.
If you're speeding in a school zone,
correct.
Your intent may not be to hit a child, but it's very possible you could hit a child speeding in a school. That's why they have
correct. That's then an accident. I live with that.
Yeah, so it's a
horrible
fine
situation, but yeah, I mean.
So you're fine with accidentally ruining lives. I got you. All
right,
we can move
on. That, I mean, that's fair, right? Like, I am. You're a better person, fair, right? Boy. Like, you are. You're an upstanding citizen. You're the old man of the two. I respect you. You have great character. You just ooze moral fiber. People don't listen to this show because people who listen to this show know me. They know I'm not that. I gave them 3 days. That's good for me. That's growth. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? Episode 1 of the Corner Podcast, Kel, would have been letting them fly.
Look,
people must forget how reckless I was at 25, 26 when this shit started. Woo! Well, I was lawless.
I will say this. At least we know who you are.
Thank you. That is it's growth. I am growing. Please see the growth. Don't judge me for where I'm at. Judge me for where I'm going to be, Dre. That's all I ask.
You're getting judged.
Before we move off of the topic, who's the next big bad in the Marvel Universe? The perfect scenario, who you want to see, who's the next Thanos? To me, they got to top it, right? It's kind of like, and it's hard. It's not, you know, Joker levels of hard when Batman, when the Dark Knight Returns had to try to top that, and they did pretty well, but it's a lofty position now that they're in. Who's the next guy?
Man, it's tough, man, because I like... After this, you know, the 11 years, I don't think we're going to have to wait 11 years for them to do this again. So
Thanos' build was what, like 4, though?
I mean, Thanos' build was, his first appearance.
Guardians?
No, his first appearance was, I believe, the first Avengers movie. I have to do it myself. Yeah.
Yep.
So
that's
that,
still like a 5-year build.
That was longer than that.
2014.
We're in 2019. Was it 2014? It was 5 years. Yeah. So, 5 years is a long time. So, with Marvel also acquiring, Disney also acquiring, you know, now they have the X-Men and everybody else, I'd like to see Galacticus because he was a giant planet eater and basically
there's
a planet destroyer. Yeah, so it's like, you know, if you want to build on Thanos, you go to Galacticus, but then, you know, obviously, well, not even obviously, because there's a lot of work around, you want to see the Silver Surfer done right. They haven't done the Silver Surfer right in years. The Fantastic Four movies were terrible. The Silver Surfer movie that probably nobody saw, there's a Silver Surfer movie out there that's absolutely horrible. They need to get this right. So that's who I'd like to see. I mean, maybe Dr. Doom, but I feel like it's going to be a multitude of villains that we're going to get to. But I'm going to go with Galacticus just because the dude's a freaking giant.
Yeah, see, he was my pick. And then on Twitter, where I was discussing this with folks, they enlightened me, and I got a new favorite pick, and that's the Beyonder. So the Beyonder is my pick because then we get Secret Wars as the major comic book to follow, kind of like we had Infinity Gauntlet. So it'd be the Secret Wars and time travel, and then Spider-Man takes the lead role in that. If anyone ever watched like the old school Spider-Man cartoon, they did like this 2 or 3 episode spinoff with the Beyonder. That was just nuts, and it was so dope. And Spider-Man traveling, and at the end, I think it was him Wolverine, Fantastic Four, and they all had to get together and beat him. And it was like three people. So I can't wait to see an entire Marvel universe in that storyline. So that'd be my pick going forward. And look at this. We got through an entire Marvel segment without spoiling stuff.
I mean, you already did it on your timeline, but whatever.
Yeah, people don't go back through my timeline. How about that? No spoilers will be found if you just stay away from my timeline about from last weekend. So moving forward, though, let's talk combat sports. Because like I said to open up the show, huge boxing weekend. Canelo versus Jacobs here in Vegas. You've been down there, what, every day? Getting interviews, talking to people. You sound enthused, just ecstatic about having to cover this all week.
Dog, I'm tired, man. Like, I mean, it's different when you're working both sides. It's like you're burning the candle on both ends. Because I'm here as a writer because I have to cover it. But also, I'm here with production. We got a lot of other stuff going on. Triple G will be in town this weekend. So I have to do something with him on Saturday. We recently signed Devin Haney. So today he has a press conference, which I'm not going to because I have work to do. But I'll be with him today for a big feature that we're doing, profiling him and his dad. A lot of people are surprised that we signed Devin Haney, but it's real interesting. We're about to push that kid to the moon. But yeah, it's just a lot. Grand Rivals. I'm not doing the undercard press conference because the undercard sucks. Damn, I said that about my own network. But right.
It's all right. It's Golden Boy. You guys still got to take the slack on that.
But yeah, man, it's busy, man. It doesn't quite feel like fight week yet. And I think I've said this a lot in past Cinco de Mayo fights. It doesn't get there until like tomorrow. Tomorrow's gonna start really feeling like fight week. Right now, it just feels like a lot of work. Canelo doesn't give us a whole lot to talk about because he doesn't say shit. Daniel Jacobs has been great with the media because he really has no choice but to be. And tonight we have the final screening. It's a private screening of the 40 Days series that we did with LeBron. So we got that. His crew is coming out here. I think LeBron's going to be at the fight. I can't confirm nor deny it because we haven't had an exact word, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be in town. So, yeah, man, it's a lot, man. Canelo's a big goddamn deal. I mean, the man he's making $336 million, so apparently he's got to be treated as such.
Yeah, I mean, he got a new Bugatti or Maserati or something. I saw him pull up in the other day.
It's a Bugatti.
He's doing well for himself. I can say that. Yeah, it's a crazy weekend. I was going to ask you before we kind of get into some more stuff around the fight, is this a trend we're going to see, like less stacked undercards? Because now pay-per-view, especially with DAZN, is not a factor. This technically isn't a pay-per-view fight. So does it matter if you stack the undercard or not? Like, people are paying $10 to see this. It's a steal already, right?
Well, no, that's not the case. Pay-per-view undercards have sucked for years. It's very rare that you just get a really good undercard for a pay-per-view fight.
I don't know. I just saw Maidana Mayweather popped up on my On This Day. Had Amir Khan on the undercard. It had Adrian Broner on the undercard. Just a good amount of people layered in that boy.
There's a reason for that, because Mayweather was fighting Maidana. And people that, you know, Showtime was concerned that fight wasn't going to sell. So they did stack that undercard. And also, you know, you stack the undercard to give light to other fighters. See, for this particular card, David Lemieux was supposed to originally fight in the co-main event, but he broke his hand, so he's out. Virgil Ortiz is on this card because Golden Boy is trying to push him. I think they were trying to get Ryan Garcia on this card.
Ooh, that would have been a good fight. Well, Ryan Garcia would demolish someone.
Yeah, Ryan Garcia fought on the last Canelo card, on the undercard. So there's still going to be stacked cards. It's not a matter of the pay-per-view thing. It's just a matter of timing and trying to get the right people slated in. I mean, it's money. There's a lot of things that go into these cards. And it's like being on the inner workings, I can tell you that it's not a product of us streaming them on DAZN for $9 a month or $20 a month if you're just not subscribing. It's a matter of just trying to find the right people to fit on the cards. Like, you know, like Demetrius Andrade, for instance, we got to figure out where to put him on his next card. I don't have to say none of this. It's just I'll know when they figure it out. But I know that they're trying to figure out where to put him. So he may pop up on somebody's paper, you know, on a big card, probably not a Canelo card because obviously he's not a Golden Boy fighter. But you got to use these to build some of these guys. So Virgil Ortiz is the guy you're going to build this time. Ryan Garcia, you probably see Diego De La Hoya on another undercard. There's a lot. I mean, you know, Jesse Vargas just fought. I mean, Oleksandr Usyk fights in 2 weeks. We just had Estrada and Sorong Vissai. It's a lot to put on a stacked undercard. And then you don't
it's a lot of big fighters and for like, you know, DAZN. It's a lot of their big fighters in a small period of time. Because then we have Joshua to start next month, right?
Exactly. So it's you don't necessarily want to put all your eggs in one basket. So you want to spread some of these guys out, have them fight in different markets in different cities, so on and so forth. So you'll see better undercards. But yeah, this undercard kind of sucks. Lamont Roach is on there. He's pretty good. But other than that, it's nothing to write home about. You know, even though Virgil Ortiz is fighting Mauricio Herrera, who's a really good fighter, who a lot of people think beat Danny Garcia, it's not the most fun fighter to watch. So we'll see.
Don't make it ugly. One boxing match that wasn't fun. Actually, you know what? Before we get to that, why talk about a boxing match that damn near put it asleep last week? Let's talk about Canelo versus Jacobs, the fight itself, and does Jacobs have a chance? Because how then? Because you look at it, to me in my mind, especially fighting Canelo here in Vegas, the only way to beat him is to drop him. You guys just put out an article rescoring the rematch between Canelo and Triple G, which I thought Canelo did better in the rematch than he did the original, and you still had him losing by two rounds to Triple G.
Yeah.
On the Sporting News. On a rewatch of it. So the first one, he was down like four rounds or three rounds and got a draw. Second one, you guys have him losing. He wins on two judges' cards. How do you even beat this guy?
I mean, it's difficult. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Chances are that, you know, I mean, when you look at the odds makers, Canelo's like a minus 400 to 500, which I think is insane. It shouldn't be that close. But I think the fact of the matter is a lot of people don't see any way that Danny Jacobs can win a decision in Las Vegas, which probably is true. The issue is output. And I think it's the biggest concern heading into this fight is that Canelo is always really good fighting in spurts, and he makes great adjustments, and there's a lot of things that Canelo does well, but he doesn't throw a lot of punches. If anybody watched the 40 Days series, there's a part in there where Andre Rozier was like, you threw 96 punches in that round. And it's very brief, but it says a lot about Jacobs' game plan going in this fight. He needs to be the busier fighter. He has to be more active, use his size, use his reach, use his speed. He has a lot of things that Triple G didn't have. Triple G, he punched hard. He placed his punches very well. He had solid footwork, but didn't really cut off the ring. But there are a lot of things that Jacobs does that Canelo might have some difficulty dealing with. So he can win the fight. It's just, I'm not necessarily sure how. Look, if you're a betting man, I feel comfortable betting on the draw at plus 2,200, which is insane, but possible. You never know what these judges are thinking. And who knows, man? I mean, being around Canelo this week, I'm not going to say Canelo's complacent, but he doesn't seem very excited. And I don't think he ever really seems excited. Danny just seems really hungry. Like, he has a lot to prove. Like, he's trying to prove something. And he's going to go out there and fight the fight of his life against Canelo. So he has a very good chance of winning. I'm not picking him to win.
I was about to say, that's more credit than I've heard anyone else give him. So, I mean, that's damn near a win right there.
I mean, look. I said this before. If Daniel Jacobs fought Canelo 2 years ago, I would have picked Daniel Jacobs to win. Canelo's gotten so much better every fight. He's only 28. That's the crazy thing. Canelo's just now entering his physical prime, so he's only getting better. But if you look at how Daniel Jacobs fought against Triple G and how Canelo fought against Triple G, there's a lot of people that had Jacobs beating Triple G and had Canelo winning neither fight.
So I am almost at that point. I mean, I had it as a draw, and the drop in the first round was the deciding factor.
So if you look at it from that aspect, it's kind of like, I mean, I know it's like MMA math or Scott Steiner math, if you want to be more specific. It never really works out like that. A beats B, B doesn't necessarily beat C. So it doesn't really work like that. However, you look at the things that Daniel Jacobs does well, and you look at how he fought Golovkin, and you look at Canelo, because, I mean, if you really want to be technical, Canelo's gotten the benefit of the doubt in a lot of fights.
Oh, yeah. A lot of fights. Like, Danny Jacobs is a higher output Irisandi Lara if he wants to be. Like, with the slick angles, the not being cornered, somewhat very hard, and that's what gave Triple G problems. Very hard to cut off the ring against him. Even if he's moving back and defensive, you can't stop the guy from sliding out of corners. And Canelo's feet aren't the fastest. Great hand speed, not great foot speed. So you look at it, like, he can literally fight the same fight Arislandi Lara did and probably throw, what, 9-10 more punches around and win.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what Canelo learned against the Lara fight was that being aggressive doesn't always win. That's how Canelo really learned how to box, dealing with Lara and dealing with Mayweather. And that's another thing. Like, dude, Canelo got a majority. He lost a majority decision, which means one judge scored it a draw against Mayweather. It's crazy how these judges see Canelo. And they're not all the same judges. It's always different judges. It's not Adelaide Byrd in every goddamn corner.
But in the fight, I can understand. Like, I scored the last fight a draw. You guys had it 2 rounds in favor of Golovkin. And I can understand it. The atmosphere and being in there, it does add to it.
Well, that's
and it's so hard to, like, people are like, oh, well, judge every time you see a head snap back. But that's not the case. Both these guys are brawlers. They both had heavy hands. The lightest of jabs grazing could snap a head back. You know, it was hard to judge, but the crowd going nuts after everything Canelo throws, not even lands, throws, it's hard to differentiate what's landing, what's not, who had a big round when they're close. How do you judge body blows versus headshot? It was so close, and the crowd adds so much to it.
Yeah.
Damn, you got to have earmuffs on, like headphones, like noise canceling, and be in your own zone.
It's something. It's something I talked to Jacobs about, is because dealing with that crowd, and that crowd is going to scream every time Canelo throws a punch, whether it hits the gloves or it hits nothing. They're going to be loud, and that influences judges. And Jacobs, I'm asking him how he's not going to be influenced like that. I feel like it's almost pretty impossible. But maybe, you know, maybe he doesn't know how to deal with composure, because he has fought in hostile. He's never really been the fan favorite heading into a fight. Like, he fought in New York against Triple G, and the fans were loving Triple G and not Jacobs. Yeah. So he's dealt with this before. I just don't know how he wins. I'm not saying he can't win. I think he has a very good chance. But I think there's a lot of things working against him, and a lot of things that – I mean, there are things he control, but the judges, no matter what you do sometimes, you can't really control them. But I'll tell you what. I wouldn't be surprised if Jacobs hurts Canelo in this fight at some point. I wouldn't be surprised.
But Jacobs never really hurt Triple G. And that was a Jacobs that said, the hell with the hydration clause, I'm going up. He can't do that this time. The whole thing's built off of the belt, right? So I saw an article today. It was like, you know, they're doing everything to dehydrate me.
Well, that's not true. Keep me under. Let me stop you there. That's not true. The dehydration clause is for a fine. It has nothing to do with the belt. So,
oh, against Triple G, though, he couldn't win the belt, correct?
Right. Against Triple G, it was different. And
he gave up the right to win the belt with the dehydration clause.
Well, it's hard to explain, because the Jacobs Triple G fight, there was a hydration clause, but he didn't exceed it. So he was fine. Like, he didn't exceed that. Like, he came in big the next day, but it was already past that point. So in this fight, there's a hydration clause, but it has nothing to do with the titles whatsoever. He'll just be fined. And more importantly,
fuck the money.
More importantly, Jacobs didn't fight, and he'll say this himself, weighing 180 pounds wasn't smart. He needed to be more mobile. Being bigger wasn't necessarily going to help him against Triple G. He needed to be faster. So you look at the Canelo fight, and
he looks smaller. So being faster shouldn't be a problem. He looks a lot smaller this fight than he did entering the Triple G fight.
So he's going to be bigger than Canelo, for one. For two, nobody hurts Golovkin. Nobody. We've never seen Golovkin hurt in a fight. So I'm not Canelo hit him with some shots.
Yeah.
And Golovkin just walked through him. So I can't use that as a litmus test either. Hitting Canelo clean with a combination is possible, because what Canelo likes to do, and he's very good at it, both him and Jacobs have excellent upper body movement. Like, the footwork is solid, but Canelo has really good upper body movement. So I'm curious how Canelo's going to deal with somebody who throws more than two or three punches. Because Golovkin fought, he would throw like a two or three punch combination, and he'd reset. and he didn't go to the body. And I'm sure there's so many things that Jacobs is seeing, looking at those fights, he's going to try to take advantage of. Obviously, it's much different than when you're in the ring. But I think Jacobs is probably the most fluid opponent that Canelo has fought in terms of stringing his punches together. And he's probably going to be one of the faster opponents he's fought. Like, Arisandi Lara had great footwork and great defense, but he didn't throw anything. Jacobs is going to be a completely different beast. It's going to be a lot for Canelo to deal with. I'll keep saying it. I'm surprised that they gave him this fight in his second deal on the zone. But it's at the point where if Canelo loses, it's like, so what? He's going to be fine. Unless he gets destroyed, and I don't think that's going to happen either.
No, I don't think so. I mean, everything he's shown, he's too good to get destroyed. Because even if you hit him, he's just going to throw something back and hit you. Like, you can only open up so much against him, right? Because then you end up Amir Khan.
Right.
With that one hitter quitter. So you don't want to get overly, you know, just enthusiastic, run in there, go willy-nilly, and end up on your back. So Jacob still has to be wary of the power, which is going to keep Canelo upright. It's just, it's a tough task, man. It's tough. His margin for error is so small. Jacobs, that is. Or anyone who fights Canelo at this point. That it has to be daunting. I look forward to your piece on him and you, you know, chopping up with Jacobs and spending time with him before the fight on Saturday. Because his honest opinion would be cool to hear. Of, you know what, do you feel that it takes more than just winning the fight? Do you feel that you have the pressure to go over and beyond because of what you've seen this guy, you know, in the fights and how scores have led themselves towards his way in the past? So that'll be interesting. And, you know, Triple G has spoken about this, but that's in hindsight, not before a fight. You know, it's after the fight. So it'll be interesting to see how Jacobs kind of looks at that. Last weekend, Easter versus Bartholomew. How'd you stay awake? That was the question.
I don't know, man. The fight sucked.
So they suck so bad, they got a split draw, I believe. Like, it was a horrible damn fight. Don't even run that back.
Yeah, they deserve. I mean, yeah, whatever.
Don't run it back. Take that draw on the chin and just keep it moving. Two different opponents. Big Baby Miller, who's supposed to be fighting in MSG. He was supposed to fight Anthony Joshua in the beginning of June. Tested positive for everything under the damn sun. We let him have it on this show. 6 months for him, Dre.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand.
6 months for every, like, it's worth the gamble then, right? Granted, he missed out on a ton of money.
He missed a ton of money. It's $6.5 million he missed out on.
Oh, that's a shitload.
His biggest payday hasn't even been $1 million. It's like $675,000. So yeah.
He bet on himself taking all that and winning.
He was an idiot. And now we got Andy Ruiz stepping in, who actually is a better fighter than Jarrell Miller. So, I mean,
I don't know. Andy Ruiz, I saw he was sparring a little bit or warming up in the ring. He caught his trainer with the sneaky, landed a clean left hand and didn't drop the trainer. I was like, oh, it's over.
No, see,
you can't drop your trainer.
You think he put all his force behind that punch? Come on.
No, but that's just hilarious to watch. That or his trainer has one hell of a chin.
I'm just saying,
you gotta put all your force behind it. You catch it with the sneaky. Like, they put some, there's a lot of force going into those pads, you know? So you catch me right on the button with one of those. Nah, you weren't trying to knock him out, but that shit was funny to watch.
I think Andy Ruiz is a better opponent. So, in terms of
sell, right? Like, his biggest appeal and draw was that he was gonna talk, he was gonna chatter, he was going to make people want to see him get knocked out, which he would have been knocked out. Quick.
Which is true. But what I'm saying, in terms of in ring, like Josh, like Jarrell Miller's, you know, he's not that. He hasn't really even fought anybody. Like, Andy Ruiz lost to Joseph Parker by majority decision. It's a fight that a lot of people thought Ruiz won. Ruiz comes in, he looks fat and out of shape. I think somebody said he looks like the kid from Up that grew up and became a fighter, which is true. But Ruiz can fight. Is he in over his head against Anthony Joshua? Yeah, but I think he's a really good fighter in terms of Jarrell, who's a really good talker. And it was a grudge match that nobody's giving him, either of these guys, a chance to beat Joshua. I just think Andy Ruiz could be a little bit more competitive. He could crack. I mean, dude, we talk about Andy Ruiz, like Jarrell Miller was like 300 pounds, dog. Like he was kind of a fatty as well.
Yeah.
You know, no, taking all small. The juice. No, like neither of these guys are small. So Ruiz, you know, he's been in there with pretty good competition. He has a pretty decent knockout percentage, and I'm looking forward to it. But in terms of Miller, 6 months ain't enough for all those drugs.
Hell like, nah. He took everything.
Yeah, like he literally, like he was on everything. Like, you know that Mike Epps stand-up?
Yeah, about the kids Royce around used everything. It for a song? What was that, yeah. Royce and M?
Yeah, like that's what, Jarrell Miller was on everything. He didn't care. So he was a true definition of fucking up the bag.
Yeah, nah, he's a rap. And you know what? I don't. If he doesn't get another big shot, then yeah, he whacked himself out. But in the heavyweight division, there's only so many opponents. Someone will throw him a mil and a half or something to see his ass get knocked out in the future. Before we transition over to MMA, do you think Klitschko comes back this year? Do you think we see him versus Joshua again at some point?
It's a tough one, man. I don't think so, but I won't count it out. I think Klitschko misses the game a bit, mm-hmm. but I don't know if he wants to put his body through training all over again. And I think it's a lot of the hardest part for a lot of fighters is that they look at, like, okay, perfect example, Marcos Maidana.
Yeah.
He announced he was coming back, started working to lose the weight, and then one day woke up was like, I don't want to do this shit anymore, and retired again. So
yeah, the process is what's tough to get back into. Yeah. Fight night looks fun as hell. Fight week, fight night, you miss that. I'm sure you don't miss the dog days. It's like older people in the NFL. No one wants to go to training camp.
Nah, so I think Klitschko, he looks at it, and he looks at somebody like Anthony Joshua, and knowing that he put, you know, he damn near finished Joshua, he's looking at the fight, was like, I could probably beat him. But I think the moment he starts hitting the pads or the moment he has to run those few miles, he's like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Because he's older, his body's not the same. I don't think he has the will to really fight. So I'm going to say no, but I think he may tease it because and just to see if he wants it. I think he'll tease it to see if he wants it. Not the fans, like if it gets his energy up. But I don't think we'll see him back in the ring. And I just kind of don't want to see him fight again.
Well, if he wanted to keep fighting, I think the Tyson Fury fight would be a better one to run back than the Joshua one.
Yeah, but he ain't going to be fighting with Top Rank. So there's that.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. ESPN Top Rank. Who the hell is Fury even going to fight?
Bones.
That was a whack move. They gave him a lot of money, though, so take the bag.
He cashed out. Good for him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He cashed out. Yeah.
Nah, take the bag and run. All right, MMA. Talking about people who aren't coming back and fighting. Brock Lesnar did what you said, Dre. Started, he was like, all right, I got this WWE stuff. It looked like he shed the weight. It looks, you know, he was at University of Minnesota rolling around, training with some of their really good wrestlers. The young kids got out there. It looked like this was about the time when it was time to ramp it up for a camp, right? DC's aiming to fight in August, it looks like. And it was like, okay, Brock, it's time for you to get in the camp. He gave his little test to USADA. Everything was ready to go. And it looked like he was just like, nah, it's not worth it.
Yeah, like I said before, Brock is with the WWE. And Vince pays him a lot of money to do these spot dates. Brock, the moment that Brock went to camp, he was like, nah, I'm good. There was really, you know, people were like mad at him. But, dude, Kevin Iole said this, and I thought it was kind of funny. Brock Lesnar hasn't won a fight in 8 years.
That's not true. My two eyes, I saw him win a fight.
Almost 8 years.
I saw him win a fight.
Who?
He beat Mark Hunt.
No, he didn't. He failed a drug test.
All right, man. I'm just saying. Listen, and Reggie Bush talked about it. I'm vacating. I saw him win a fight.
You did not see him, but you saw him cheat. And win a fight. He hasn't officially won a fight.
Do we want to go back and see? I mean, honestly, are we now asking ourselves, has Brock Lesnar ever won a fight without being juiced to the gills? Is this now the question?
No, the question is, when's the last time that Brock Lesnar officially won a fight?
I would argue he quite possibly have never won a fight if your criteria is he juicing or not to win this?
But we're not doing that. We're saying officially. Officially.
Oh, officially. Okay, yeah.
He won a fight when he beat Shane Carwin in 2010. He has not officially won a fight in almost 8 years. Yep. 8 years, and he was going to get a title opportunity. He lost to Kane. He lost to Alistair Overeem. Then he beat Mark Hunt, but tested positive for whatever the hell he was using at the time. So, like, people are, like, mad at him. No, be mad at the UFC. But don't even be mad at the UFC. Daniel Cormier wanted to fight Brock Lesnar. And he did everything that he wanted to do to get there. And now he's going to end up fighting Stipe again. When he said he was going to retire in March, and the only reason he didn't retire was because he's going to fight Lesnar. Now he's going to fight Stipe again. All right, well, whatever.
He tried to get the money, right? He tried to go after the bag.
No, he did everything in his power. But it's fascinating because Brock hasn't won a fight in 8 years and was going to get a title opportunity.
Yeah, money talks.
That's insane.
Right? Like, imagine
me going, ah, man, like, I haven't done this in 8 years, but I'm going to be the top guy. Like, in anything.
Yeah. I mean, that's, but again, if you didn't write about music for 8 years and someone was like, yo, we're going to hire Dre as a music person, I'd be like, okay.
Well, how about like, this?
You just kind of got to keep that, right? Like,
I'm just saying, like, if I haven't listened to music in 8 years, right, and you ask me to write about, write for the Grammys about the nominees, and I haven't listened to music in 8 years, that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar hadn't fought, he hasn't won.
Sounds kind of weird.
In 8 years. So he played the game, like, and I'm sure he played the game to get more money out of Vince. So he got more money out of Vince. He's going to be wrestling in Saudi Arabia again. Oh, and, yeah, this is where we're at. I mean, this is the UFC, man. They're going to pay Brock all this money and he hadn't won a fight in 8 years.
They are an entertainment company. WME is an entertainment company. I don't know what people thought. Like, who do you think bought this? Like, this shit's not normal. They don't have a union.
Like, Greg Hardy's making $120, you know. I mean, and even Greg Hardy.
That is a massive pay cut for Greg Hardy.
But that's what I'm saying. He's grossly underpaid. Even though he's overpaid compared to his peers in MMA, he's underpaid in the grand scheme of things. That's crazy.
He was making a lot less to just rush and hit a quarterback. A lot more to do that. And now he's getting punched in the face. So, I mean, all these guys are grossly underpaid. It's horrible. Half the UFC has side jobs.
Except for Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was a guy who was overpaid and couldn't win a fight.
No, but he sold. Now that pay-per-views don't matter, though, I don't know. Like, again, I don't know. Because what's the pay-per-view model? How do you even get pay-per-view points?
Well, I mean, they still have pay-per-view, ESPN.
That shit, but you limit so many people from buying pay-per-view.
Yeah, like, that ain't their concern.
No, it's not. These fighters got to be looking at this shit with a side eye, though. Coming up this weekend, we have UFC Ottawa, Brunson versus Theodoro, Iaquinta versus Cerrone are the two fights that stand out to me. Co-main, main event. I'll take Elias to win because I'm going to walk with Elias in this one.
That's fair.
I'm not like a huge Derek Brunson guy. And then Iaquinta to beat up Cerrone. I think Iaquinta's hitting the stride. I don't know why. Give the real estate man some love.
I mean, Iaquinta is a really good fighter, man. Like, I mean,
he is. You know, he dummies out sometimes, though. Like, he gets to like this point where he plateaus, and I just don't know why. He's more talented than that. But say it might just be that camp. Weidman's the only one to really break through of that. But after he lost the title, he's done that several times himself.
Well, I mean, Iaquinta, you know, he beat Kevin Lee, he beat Jorge Masvidal, he beat Diego Sanchez. He only lost to Khabib in the last 5 years.
He went on a hiatus for a second, too.
Well, yeah, because he wasn't getting paid, which is, like, the overall theme about the UFC. He wasn't getting paid, and he got his, like, real estate license.
Yeah, but does real estate on the island, Strong Island.
Yeah, so Iaquinta, he's a hell of a fighter. And Cerrone's, you know, Cerrone's the one you got to worry about because you never know which Cerrone's going to show up. You know he's going to show up to fight, right? You just don't know which version of Cerrone's showing up to fight. The guy who got trucked by Darren Till, the guy who gave everybody else hell. So I'm going to pick Iaquinta to mess up the bag because everybody wants to see Cowboy versus McGregor, which I don't think we're going to see that fight. So I'm going to go with Iaquinta in this fight.
Which would be a great fight for Conor because if he can't beat Cerrone, he shouldn't fight anymore.
I mean, he shouldn't fight anyway. I don't think he cares. Proper, you know, his whiskey's making a lot of money. So.
Oh, I still think he cares to fight. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he necessarily cares as much about the money anymore. Like, he wants to just be the highest paid just for the, you know, shits and giggles. and for his ego. But I don't think he cares how much. But I think he still has the itch to fight. I think doubting him bothers.
I think no, I don't. I think he wants the money. Exactly. I think he wants the money more than the fight. He ain't fighting for pennies.
No, and I think going out on a down note, nope, they'll fuck him up. They'll eat him alive.
No, I don't think so. I think he's doing fine right now. I think he's sitting around right now counting his money from whiskey and then going, do I really need to fight? Like,
I mean, that shit's going to make him 500 mil, 700 mil. Like, he's going to be fine.
Ego-wise,
I think he still thinks he's the best fighter in the world. And I think going out being just fucking bossed like he was last time isn't going to sit well with him. I don't.
When Conor McGregor said in the Khabib fight that this is business, I think that was a tell. He's here for a good time, not for a long time. He came to get paid. Yeah, he wants to be the best, but losing to Khabib, I mean, do you think that Conor thinks he can beat Khabib? Seriously?
Yeah, I think he does. I think he believes he can goad Khabib into a stand-up match, which he then can win. But I think that's what everyone thinks.
I don't think Conor thinks he can beat Khabib. I think he hopes
because Khabib is beatable. Let's not get this wrong. If you can maintain the fight on the feet, you can beat Khabib Nurmagomedov. If you have exactly like you had to have one, you got to be like really big. Like maybe you have to be 170 pounder. Like honest to God, with crazy takedown defense, like, maybe a Tyrone Woodley.
So you're saying all the things that Conor is not.
Correct. So I don't know how he does it per se, but you look at a guy like, even though, you know, present fight excluded, but you look at Rory McDonald, a fighter built like that, who just is a striker but has incredible takedown defense. And you look at some of the just all these guys just having to be bigger. There's no one in that division that really matches up that way. I haven't seen El Kakui put down much.
Just saying.
I'm not sure I've seen anyone try, though.
The essence of the point is, Conor didn't beat Khabib. I don't think he believes that. Like, there's a point in time where, like, Floyd believes he can beat everybody, right? Because he has. And Conor lost to Khabib, and I think that's already shattered his ego. I don't think he goes into a fight with Khabib thinking he's going to win. He hopes he can win, which is a much different way to play the game.
I don't know. I think he goes in thinking, oh, I got a new game plan. This shit's no different than Nate.
No.
Like, oh, it's okay, different. You got me. I fought the wrong fight.
There, when doubt creeps into a fighter's mentality, of course they're going to play the role like they're going to win the fight. But the moment that Khabib knocked Conor down with that overhand right hand, everything changed. Everything changed. Because there was nothing Conor could do. So all I'm saying is the desire to be the best is second to the desire to be rich and well off. He's got a kid, he's got a girlfriend, he's got a pending rape trial to deal with. Fighting is there.
You're just going to sneak in the rape trial.
I feel like fighting is there. Like, I don't think he's fighting to be the best anymore. I think he wants to be the best. But I just don't, like, losing to Khabib, I feel like took a lot of wind out of his sails. If he doesn't fight again, he'll be fine with it as long as he's counting his money. He's not one of those guys. Like Floyd, at a certain point,
we see Conor fight before the end of 2019.
I'm not saying we won't see him fight. I'm just saying his desire to fight. It isn't about, like, he's about getting paid. Like, he ain't fighting for no little money. He won't fight to be in the co-main event.
Nope.
So this is really about money, and he'll take the best fight out there if it pays him the most. But if you tell Conor he can either fight Khabib for $2 million or George St. Pierre for $5 million, who do you think he's going to fight?
Oh, he's fighting, GSP, easy.
Okay. This is not about being the best. This is about money.
Yeah, I think you'd have to pay him a lot more to not want the challenge of being the best. But Conor also knows, like, the money's going to come because he's Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
So, why not GSP adds $3 million. I mean, Conor, if that's the case, then fuck it, he's going to fight for the belt. Like, you really got to give him a fight that's just next level. And I think he's okay with, like, he would have fought Cerrone, I think. I don't think he has to get back to the top right now. You know, he's just bets the end game. We're in the end game now, Dre.
We shall see. Like, George St. Pierre won that middleweight title against Michael Bisping, and then did he want to be the best anymore after that? No, he didn't. GSP was like, nah, I'm good. Here, you can have this shit back.
Did what
I just
did.
Want to see if I could do it. That was it. I just want to try this. He was done.
Nah, that's fair. Yeah, GSP was, he looked done in that fight. He was just like, oh, let me see if I can do this shit. And they're paying me a lot. Yeah. Let's talk about WWE before we get out of here. Not much really that we can't touch on next week. Next week, we'll do a bigger Money in the Bank preview as that comes up. But, man, one, Lio Rush has heat. I'm a big Lio Rush guy. He's reportedly rubbing people the wrong way in the back. Some of the boys don't like him. I mean, the guy didn't carry some waters and people's bags. Like, that shit's outdated in a lot of things. Like, I don't... Listen, I've done football, understand the mentality. Sometimes you haze the young kids or, you know, just not like horribly hazing. It has a negative connotation nowadays. But, you know, like, yo, carry my pads, do this, do that. Some people ain't there for the shits, though. Like, they're just not. Like, I wasn't built for the fraternity life because I wasn't fucking drinking spit out of a cup. I don't even know if that happened, but I saw it on TV. I wasn't even chancing it. So, I mean, different people have different things. I don't blame him for this stance. And he said he's grossly underpaid, which I believe is the truth. Like, they sign you to an NXT deal and move you up. They don't rework your deal. So he's on the road, and he doesn't have the means to pay for shit like other people do. But sometimes, I mean, you got to bet on yourself. Sometimes you just got to be hungry, young kid. Like, I was starving as fuck at 25, too. You got to do that to get here.
Look, I feel like the Lio Rush thing is getting blown out of proportion. The thing that Lio Rush did say, he said he didn't ever say that he didn't want to. He talked about the visual of a black man carrying a bunch of white dudes' bags, which is true in some ways. It does look crazy. I don't think, like, if he's getting heat, it's I'm sure there's a lot more to the story, but I can't fault either side. Yeah, there probably is hating. There's a lot of people that have dealt with the things. Some of these things are outdated. It kind of happens when you have, like, okay, so in a fraternity, even though I never pledged in college, but I have friends that pledge. You have people that pledge the old way, and then you have people that pledge the new way. And in pro wrestling, that fraternity includes guys who are in their 40s that went through the hell. And then you have a guy like Lio Rush, who's maybe 15 years younger than AJ Styles. Yep. And not saying AJ's doing the hazing, but I'm just talking about the age.
But the guy's 24, yeah, and you look at we've heard stories of Randy.
Yeah. So it's like I understand both sides of it. It's a culture clash, right? And it's not like a black or white thing, you know, that may have something to do with it, but there's a culture clash here. And Randy may show up and say, we gotta do things this way. And Leo's like, this doesn't look good if you put me through this. And then you have a clash. So ultimately, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens, but I think what we're learning more than anything else is that the WWE is not the only horse to show in town. AEW is coming, and, you know, we just saw Dean Ambrose go back to Jon Moxley and put up a dope video, and, you know, it looks like he's making his return. Like, everybody doesn't need the WWE, and their ratings are tanking, something serious. Raw and SmackDown with nothing to write home about this week, and nobody's watching the shit. So Lio may be able to find employment elsewhere. It just really depends on what you it always depends on what you want to do and how much you're willing to get paid to do it. And if Lio's feel like he's getting underpaid to be on the road, you know, 30, 40 weeks out of the year, maybe 50 weeks out of the year, if he feels like he's getting underpaid, go work elsewhere. There's other guys who feel like they're fine doing this. It's a lifestyle thing, man. Like, some of these guys just don't want to deal with that lifestyle. And I get it. I don't think you're wrong either way. I think some people come to the WWE and think this is what they want, and they don't really want that.
Yeah.
While other guys show up, and this is what they want, and they're going to continue to do it. So it'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. But Lio's just, you know, Naomi, and we've seen other Sasha Banks supposedly are upset. I mean, dude, look at the Revival in the Usos. Revival in the Usos look like
they
a tag team.
They shaving back.
Yeah. And maybe the Revival's like, dog, this is not what we came here to do. We came here to wrestle. And we're shaving backs? But this is the company that you work for. This is what the WWE does. This is their narrative, their entertainment, their sports entertainment. They're not about wrestling. So maybe the Revival goes elsewhere when the contract is up. I don't know, but it feels like the WWE's in a real messy spot right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree. Can't knock people for being upset and trying to better their working environment or asking for more, asking for what they feel they deserve. That's one thing. Can't count someone else's pockets, right?
Exactly.
Like, they deserve whatever they feel they deserve. If someone else doesn't and they part ways, then cool, go make it elsewhere. So it's just weird to see all these guys. Like, it just seems like the grumblings are more pronounced. I'm sure this shit has happened throughout the history of wrestling, throughout the history of the WWE. But yeah. Now it just seems more like a magnifying glass on it. Maybe because there are AEWs and all this stuff, and people just kind of want to see the downfall of the empire.
That's right.
Yeah, it's weird. I like all of it together. I want WWE to be its best. I want all these indie promotions to be their best. I want the other professional promotions to be at their best. The more good wrestling, the better for me. I'll find time to watch all that shit. So, the only other thing we touched on already, Taker, Goldberg, Lesnar coming back for Saudi Arabia. This is why the WWE can take in ratings, though. Because the money's coming in regardless. So yeah. It doesn't matter. Fox gave them the money anyway. USA read up on Just Raw. They're going to make on their next contract for Just Raw what they made on Raw and SmackDown together.
True.
And then get Fox money for SmackDown on top of that. And then Saudi Arabia is paying you a cool, like $70 million to come there twice a year. Like, fucking Vince sees one color. That shit's green.
It's true.
So it's crazy, but it ain't changing. This shit, 10 people can watch SmackDown. Vince will look, the check cleared, we good money.
Yeah, he's good money. You know who's not good money? The talent. They're the ones not getting a dime out of that. So
not a damn thing changed for them. But we see the same thing in UFC. We talked about that. Boxing, people are actually trying to get a little bit of leverage.
Yeah.
Thankfully, DAZN is paying people what they're worth. But we'll see. Let DAZN take off, and that shit's in every other household in America. Let's see how people want to start reworking contracts and blowing up the pay-per-view model, you know? So, I don't know. Shit's weird. It's influx in all sports. We're seeing it. Definitely the money aspects and the business aspects of all combat sports are more prevalent now than ever before. That veil is being lifted more and more every week and every day. So that shit's crazy. That's our show for this week, though, man. It was quick. We're busy. We're running out of here. Canelo, Jacobs this weekend. We're going to be there. You guys, remember, we have a live show Thursday, May 23rd, 5 days after my birthday, May 23rd. And that is Memorial Day weekend out here in Vegas, the Nerd Bar, downtown Las Vegas. Tickets are available now on Eventbrite. Check it out. We have links everywhere for that. If you guys are Patreon members, thank you. You're coming into town. Let me know. I will hook it up for you guys. Also, on our Patreon wall, please leave your shirt sizes. The merch is on its way. So you guys get your shirts for free for being Patreon members. So make sure you guys leave those on there and hit me up. Follow us on social media at The Corner LSN on all platforms. Me at Kel Dansby, him at Andreas Hill. Dre, I think I got everything in there.
Yeah, we did.
For now, big things coming. More announcements coming soon. This shit's about to get real hectic, real fun. Man, month of May is going to be crazy, but I'm going to enjoy it. We're going to let the old man rest up then before we continue to hit our stride this month. And we thank you guys for sticking around with us, man. Another great show. Till next week, we're out.
Peace.